All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. May 12th, 2024. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope it's great for wherever you are at. Yeah, Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Two great reasons. Number one, we get to thank and show appreciation to our mothers. And two, we get to finally plant flowers in the ground. Supposedly, they will not be frozen after this point. No frost. So, great day, right? I hope everyone's having an amazing Mother's Day, getting to spend time with our mothers or our kids' moms or wives or whatever it is. But great day. Unfortunately, my mom passed, so I don't get to send her a shout out. I get to send her a heavenly happy Mother's Day. I'm not too much into the heavenly happy Mother's Day. I do miss my mom. She was awesome. And on this day, whenever it would be, we would, you know, I have memories of the big shopping trip with my dad, picking her out stuff at Sears, right? We used to do all of our shopping at Sears. And, you know, it was always a special day. And my mom was awesome. Super grateful to my mom. I've shared before that I was adopted, so I was picked by her. And I try to think back of all of the challenges that she went through raising not just me, but my brother as an adopting parent. All the challenges that, you know, face them. Not that it's any harder, I guess. It can be, I don't know, but we seem to get through. But I do think about her today, and I wish her a happy Mother's Day, and I'm just super grateful for her. We had such a great relationship. Good thing about my mom is she did get to see me sober for a long time. She got to see me in my addiction for a long time, and then she got to see me in sobriety for a long time. So thankful for that, right? Not that, like, you know, I'm going to try to go too deep into it, like, you know, she's watching over me. I'm not really one to believe that. I know she was proud of me when she was alive, so that was cool. But yeah, she was, she stuck with, I don't know where I would be today if it wasn't for my mom and my father, right? Both of them together. They were very, very hard on me, but they only wanted the best, right? And I think about life back in the 80s and how different it was. And how, you know, marijuana was new and it was just this battle, right? And, you know, I was watching something on the news and they're about ready to basically turn it into the equivalent of Tylenol, right? A Schedule One drug, which basically says it's, you know, whatever. I mean, I don't recommend it, right? I think if you're 21 and you want to smoke some pot, you go for it, right? That's up to you. But I do think pot definitely it wasn't helpful, put it that way. And, but man, that was a tough time, but we somehow made it through and we stuck together. And, you know, my only regret, unfortunately, and it's not even a regret, my only, the sadness that I remember is that my mom was put into a home, during the pandemic, and unfortunately she died alone. And that was really, really tough. And those are, you know, those memories, I remember them calling us and saying, hey, we're allowing visitors. And, you know, it wasn't even that long ago, right? But I just remember how excited we were. I got all the kids and we went down to the nursing home where she was at because my mom had gone blind and had some other neurological issues, but the main one was being blind. And drove down there, and they were like, we have visiting hours. You get to see her, but you have to stay 6 feet apart. And, you know, for a blind person, that's, you know, not great. She just wanted to touch the kids and hold the kids and hug the kids, and she couldn't do that. And it was just really a, you know, a real low point. And then, unfortunately, she would later pass alone, and then the nursing home was like, hey, your mom's passed away. Now you can come visit her.
Be still and go on to bed. Nobody knows what lies ahead. Life is short, to say the least. We're in the belly of the beast. Be still, wild and young. Long may your innocence reign like shells on the shore. And may your limits be unknown. And may your efforts be your own. If you ever feel you can't take it anymore, don't break character. You've got a lot of heart. Is this real or just a dream? Rise up like the sun. Labor till the work is done. Be still, one day you'll leave. Fearlessness on your sleeve. When you come back, tell me, what did you see?
What did you see?
Was there something out there for me? Close your eyes.
Be Still, The Killers. What an amazing song. But yeah, my mom's gone, and always be grateful to her. And but now, you know, I have a wife, and we are taking care of our kids and hopefully implementing all the wonderful things that my mom passed on to us, just like my mother-in-law has passed on to us. And, you know, we try to keep carrying that torch. And fighting the good fight. But yeah, it is Sunday. It is Mother's Day. I just thought I would come up and do a little chat. I've had, you know, my life is fantastic. I mean, that's pretty much what it comes down to. I shared the other day, you know, kind of coming out of the whole, you know, closing down the salon. I've walked through the fire. It's done. And I'm really sort of at peace, man. It is, sometimes we don't always realize, or I don't always realize how many rocks I'm dragging around when it comes to just keeping myself out of the peace, right? And the salon was one of them. And there was a lot of loneliness there, right? I was by myself and not getting a lot of interaction. And the only interaction I was having was with people that were, you know, coming for services, which I appreciate, but you know, it's only surface stuff. And so it's fun to be back with a group of people and, you know, just sort of living life again, right? And so it's really nice. I don't know if I shared the other day, but the, you know, the people trying to get my deposit back basically said, hey, you weren't paying enough money. We're going to call it even. And they're wrong. But they know that for me to prove that, I would literally have to go to court and get an attorney and go fight. And I just don't feel like it. I just don't feel like it. It's, you know, maybe $3,000. I don't even know. I know that sounds like a lot of money. Maybe, maybe not. But is it worth it? Not really. And the only thing that annoys me is that they know that, right? They know that it's not worth it to me. So they can really do whatever. And it's a little powerlessness, but I'm sort of cool with it. I'm like, no problem, right? And so having said that and moved past that, man, I'm really just pretty content and really enjoying the new place. I've sort of been beating myself up, right? Sort of feeling like a failure, like I could have kept going, but I'm good, right? I'm good. And now this place I'm at, it's got great people working at it. It's a lot of fun. People making food, bringing drinks. It's just, and like coffee drinks, nothing, you know, alcoholic, but, it's just nice to be back around people in the salon. Salons are cool. That's why I fell in love with the business. My buddy Rick, he's like, I got to go walk my friend's dog. And I go, all right, I'll go with you. And so we went down to my buddy's salon down in town by the beach and went and met his friend. I won't say her name, but she's a hairdresser down there, still works down there. And I remember walking into that salon. I was like, holy shit, this place is fucking awesome. And I was just, I felt like, I was in, I don't know, just this next level of cool. And I just was like, this is a great spot. And that salon is really cool. But eventually, you know, that's what I fell in love with, you know, just the energy in a hair salon. It's very cool. Very up to date, very current. And, I love it. So it's nice to be back in this salon, which is sort of like that, a little smaller than the big one down at the beach, but, you know, people come in and the vibes are good. So just really, you know, in a good spot. I just want to identify, I want to recognize it, right? I'm tired of dragging, you know, last week around. I shared that, you know, I've been in a lot of self right now, or have been, and I'm tired of doing that. The work's been done. Now I can finally chill out a bit. But yeah, I met with my buddy this morning. He called me, my buddy going through the divorce. He, you know, good friend of mine. It breaks my heart to see him, I would say, go through what he's going through, but really what it breaks my heart is to see what he is creating in his own head about it, right? It is, you know, and I never really considered this, but I do now, you know, alcoholism, right? Drug addiction, divorce, recovery, they're all sort of the same freaking thing. They all fall under the same sort of umbrella, right? This selfish side of us, right? And, you know, when I'll talk to people that are getting sober and they'll list all the things of how am I going to be able to do this or how am I going to be able to do this? Or, you know, a lot of times recovery, you'll find someone that has to get sober and divorced, right? Because their addiction got them into a place where they're losing their life, their wife, husband, or whatever, and they're also losing their best friend, you know, the alcohol or the drugs. And it can take you on a mental journey that, unless you have someone to hang out with, can drive you crazy. And it's driving my buddy crazy. And, you know, I have to sit with him, or I don't have to sit with him, I get to sit with him. He called me, asked me if we could have coffee. We meet. You know, he is a buddy that I, you know, I do my outdoor activities with. He is my seat one, right? He is the shit. Absolutely love this guy. And, but when you come into situations like this, whether it is recovery, right? I remember, you know, when my first wife left me because I was a drunk, right? And I had to get sober. Not only did my wife leave me, but my best, you know, the thing that made all of my stupidity okay, at least in my mind, I had to let go too. And it is a very lonely existence. And it can not only be lonely in the day, it can be lonely by the hours. And like he said to me, you know, it's one thing to get through the day, but the nights, right? The nights are the hardest. And, you know, and I just sort of had to share with him, you know, how I handle early recovery, how I handled her early divorce, and how I really handled my life today. And it's the same sort of advice I would give someone that's getting out off the booze is, you know, you got to stay in the day, right? All of these cool slogans, you know, they work. They're great for alcoholics, but they work for everything, right? You know, if I'm closing down the salon, if my buddy's getting a divorce, if a friend of mine's getting sober, stay in the day, right? And when I talked to him, like I did today, when we had our chat, you know, it was always about how it's going to be. You know, what is it going to be like when this? And what's going to be like when she wants to do this? And I'm like, I said, dude, you got to stay in the day. You're just going to fucking drive yourself crazy, right? And he's like, well, she wants to take the baby on a trip. And I go, you know, one of the things that I had to do early on, and I still have to do it, just like with the situation that happened with the guy that ran the lease for the building I was in, right? I had to figure out, you know, am I doing this because it's morally right? Or am I doing this because my pride and ego have been hurt, right? And a lot of the times it's my pride and ego, right? I morally, should I have got my money back? Yeah. Is it that big of a deal, right? Not that big of a deal. Is it worth the fight? Not really, right? And like he was talking about how, you know, his ex-wife or soon-to-be ex-wife wants to take the baby on a trip to, I think, Europe or something. And I'm like, he's like, I'm not going to let her do that. And I'm like, I go, if you're afraid that she is going to kidnap the child, or if you're afraid that she's going to take residence up in Europe and never come back, absolutely. But if you don't want the baby to go because you're just mad, that's tough, right? You're going to have to start working that out. As a person that has been through a couple marriages, I had to take this position, this humble position, this position of, hey, You know, because in the end, like my buddy Matt used to say, in 5 years, this will not matter. Will not matter. And we can start to build the pathway to a great relationship as divorced parents, or you can build the pathway to a shitty relationship with divorced parents. And, you know, obviously everyone has to be sort of on board. You know, you hope that whether the husband or wife isn't, you know, whether they're not drinking or using drugs or doing something bad. You know, when my first wife and I got divorced, it was hard, right? I had to give up alcohol, right? And I had to give up this security of having a wife. And our child was turning 1 year old. And I remember being in rehab and calling and just feeling like my whole world was just going to come apart. And how was I going to do this? And how was I going to afford this? And how was I, you know, all of this. And my buddy Matt said, stay in the day, right? Stay in the day. Do the best you can today. Do everything from a humble heart. If you do everything from a blackened heart, it's going to be a miserable existence. And he was right. And today, you know, I've shared many times, my first ex-wife, her and I, we have a decent relationship. We have as good of a relationship as we need, right? We don't really talk that much. She lives up in another state, but we both, you know, I saw her. She was, my son came down to visit his grandparents from Pennsylvania, and my ex-wife brought him down. They stopped by. You know, I saw her other son, who was a great kid. What's up, man? Hey, man. Have a great relationship with her. Saw hers. Hey, well, how you doing? Great relationship. Saw my boy. That's because we at some point made a decision that we were going to try. Well, I say that, right? We had some sticky moments. but, you know, I think really what it was is that I had a good person in my corner, my buddy Matt, you know, and I would tell him, she wants this. And he goes, give it to her. It won't matter in 5 years. This won't matter. Is this about not wanting to give it to her because you're mad and, you know, black heart, right? Or is this, you don't want to give it to her because she doesn't deserve it? And more than likely, it was because I had a black heart, right? I was selfish and I wanted to try to hurt, especially in recovery. You know, I always wanted to, I remember wanting to hurt her, but not look like I wanted to hurt her because I'm in recovery, right? I'm doing better. So it feels like I would try to do these other things, you know, and which would cause just as much annoyance, but still like, I'm sober. And Matt would be like, dude, you know, if it's her money, it's her money. There's not a lot of questioning it, right? Especially when we split up the house and stuff. So it was definitely tough, but luckily I had Matt in my corner to try to keep, and he wasn't like, fuck her. You know, he's like, dude, you owe her the money, right? You owe her the money. You have to refinance out. It was whatever. But he was always, you know, he wasn't just like telling me, forget her, that bitch. You know, he's like, this is your responsibility. And so luckily I had somebody in my corner, but man, we got through it. And today we have a decent relationship. When my second wife and I got split up, completely different thing. Still a little ugly. But over time, right, we have worked together, right? I think she is in a better relationship than she was with me. I think anytime you are normal, right, and you drink, but you don't have to drink like a ton of vodka every day, but you can socially drink like normal people. It's hard to be married to somebody that is trying to be sober. It's always going to be a challenge. And it was for us. And so we went our ways. But we have a great relationship. And I've said before, my wife and her are good friends. They chat. It takes a team. I saw this. I don't know who. Who was it? Oh, Ocho Cinco. Ocho Cinco, the old football player. He has 8 kids, right? And this guy's like, how many wives? He goes, one. And they go, one, really? Wow. And he goes, it takes one. If we all together, we are one, because it takes one of us to raise all of these, you know, it takes a team, basically. He was sort of skirting the answer, but it just, you know, and I agree, you know, it takes all of us to get us to raise all these kids and, you know, you can't do it by yourself, right? And so, but we have a great relationship. And so my message to him was, you know, just try to stay in the day, man. Try to figure out your motives. He's like, I don't want to stay here. I think I want to move to New York. I'm like, you can't move to New York, right? And it reminds me, you know, how we make these changes. We move trying to think that we're going to leave all of our problems behind. And in reality, they always follow us. And I said, you're just going to move there and you're going to take all the same shit all the way over there. And then you're going to be in even more inconvenience because then you're going to have to try to figure out some sort of shared custody solution with your wife or ex-wife that involves you driving back and forth from New York. And that is not going to be fun. And I had to tell him, you know, I was told when I got sober, I'll tell this person when they get divorced, don't make any crazy decisions for the first year. Try to stay in the day. Figure out your motives, right? If this is about fuck her, I'm going to be as big of a pain in the ass. You can do that, but you are going to have a miserable existence. At some point, we have to surrender, right? And I said, listen, we all play a role, right? Whether it's in getting divorced or in recovery or in our bad behavior prior to it. But if our feet were there, I played a role in it. And, you know, you have to figure out, I was telling my wife, I go, this guy is a great guy. You know, everything I know about him is great. But who knows what happens behind closed doors, right? He could be like a complete different person. And I said, at some point, you may end up having to make an amends to your wife, even though she's leaving you. Right? That is unfortunately the path sometimes. When my wife left me, I had to make an amends because honestly, it was my fault. Right? But until we can do that, we're victims. Right? And like I said, you don't want to be a victim of divorce. It is awful. I see a lot of victims of divorce, you know, and they just can't seem to get their shit together. The only people that suffer are the kids. And, you know, and so I said, you got to figure out the part you played, figure it out. One, try not to ever do it again. Two, you know, make an amends for it. And that way you don't have to be a victim. You can participate right in this, you know, raising your kids. I've said before, if I'm going to get divorced, I want to be the best divorced father I can be, right? I want to be the best ex-father I can be, or ex-dad or ex-husband, I should say, that I can be, because just because we got divorced doesn't mean it has to be the end of the world. Doesn't mean we have to punish each other, right? But in the beginning, I said, just try to write new tapes, man. Stay in the day. When you start to, but what if, when? And I said, skip it, right? Here's today. This is what we're working on. Be as kind as you can. Be as, you know, live with gratitude. You know, be helpful, right? Talk in, you know, normal tones. Don't scream and yell. Just keep your side of the freaking street clean. Now, if the person you're divorcing, right, is on the other side of the street acting like a maniac, let them be a maniac, right? But keep your side of the street clean. Especially, you know, when I can tell you, like, the courts here in Delaware, they don't want to see parents split up, right? I have talked to other people getting divorced. They run the gamut of all these ideas and what they're going to do. And in the end, you know, if you're capable of raising your child, the state of Delaware and like most states, they want you to be a father. They don't want to take kids away from good fathers. They can have a lot of great fathers and great mothers. That doesn't mean they're great couples. So, you know, I would just say, listen, this is what you want. He's like, this is what she's proposing. This is ridiculous. I say, you're going to see a mediator. When you see the mediator, figure that out. But there's no reason to stew on it right now. I know self, right? The devil wants us to get into it. The devil wants to get us fired up, right? He wants us to make a text, send a call, say something we're going to regret. Most times in this type of situation, everything we say, we regret. But I said, just be cool, man. Just keep your, because in the end, that is the best ammunition in one of these sort of battles is character, right? Character. And if you can keep your character and you can keep your integrity, that goes a long way. And that's what I always did. And today, you know, when the emotions finally fade and the dust finally settles, we end up just being humans raising kids, right? You know, marriage is a man-made idea. It isn't easy. My wife and I got in a big fight last night. She's like, you can get out. I'm like, well, where am I going to go? She said, you know, it was heated for a minute, but we, you know, our challenge is trying to, you know, being a blended family and trying to raise kids, man. It is tough because it's real easy to point out what other kids are doing, what everybody else's kids are doing. It's not always easy for me to see what my kid is doing. And I've shared about this, you know, there was a time where I was letting our middle son stay up too late, keep his phone on too long. And she had to step in and say, can't do that. He has got it. This is the way it's going to be. And I got pissed, right? But the reality is she was right and I was wrong. And sometimes it's tough because I can get soft, right? And she keeps it, she keeps the pressure on, and I think in the end he'll be a better kid for it, right? So I have to check my ego and my pride when it comes to certain things, and we sort of had one of these moments. He had some rules he was supposed to do before he went, spent Friday night with some friends, and came home and hadn't done them. And so she's like, you need to take care of this shit right now before you get to do anything. And I'm like, well, he just got home. What's the big pressure? She's like, I don't appreciate you undermining me. I was like, oh. So that's our challenges, right? And I said, you know, 30 minutes later, I am sorry. I apologize. I shouldn't have done that. I just think that as a father, I get into this naturally protective mode, and that's what I was going through. But you were right. I'm wrong. I love you. And that was it. We did not have to fight for 3 days, right? We did not have to fight all night. I didn't have to move out, right? There are sometimes people get, you know, in a position, and you have to, you know, sometimes it's better to just step back and say, okay. And so we're good. Like I said, it is Mother's Day. My wife calls me. I was going down to downtown to see if I could find her a book or something. And she calls me. She goes, I got a flat tire. So I had to drive back and change her flat tire in the rain. So that's your Mother's Day gift. I think I have to buy her a tire, actually. But yeah, it's interesting how much recovery and divorce and all this shit is you know, falls under the same umbrella, same tools, right? You can use all these same tools, really. I know that the hardest part, I think, of recovery, I think the hardest part of divorce, I think the hardest part of getting married, right, is to be honest. And, you know, I remember my first marriage. I was on board, but inside I wasn't honest. I didn't think getting married was the right idea. I felt like we'd gone so far and it was hard to pull out now. I wasn't honest. I can't even imagine being honest, right? I always have, I give a lot of people a lot of credit that can do that. I'm like, yeah, I'm sure I'm just having weird feelings. I'm sure it'll work out. But, you know, whether it's that or coming through a divorce, but being honest, right? And just trying to stay in the day. These are really tough things to do. But they bring us, they can make life so much easier. Oh my God. It is brutal. And what my friend is doing to himself, he's just destroying himself. But what if she does this? And then what about this? And I'm like, dude, stay in the day, right? Stay in the day. Mediator, fix that, you know, figure out a schedule. And we also remember, you know, I remember when we split up and we had this kind of crazy schedule. But I tell you what, man, everybody starts to find other people again, right? My ex-wife, she found another guy. I ended up finding another relationship. And all of a sudden you start cherishing that time, right? Hey, it's your week. It's like, well, you know, early on, it's like, I take the kid every day. And you're like, you sort of have to fight for your position. But, you know, a year or two, they're like, we're going out of town. So make sure you got the baby or whatever that week. You know, schedules get planned around those free times. You know, don't tell the kids, but, you know, it's pretty awesome when you have a whole week off without your kid. And so, listen, it starts to get a little better, but in the moment, it's really tough. All right. Well, like I said, hope that wasn't too heavy. I am, I'll read daily reflections and then I am going to chill out. I'm chilling out. I'm taking the day, man. It's Mother's Day. the past is over, May 12th. A experience has taught us we cannot live alone with our pressing problems and the character defects which cause or aggravate them. If step four has revealed in stark relief those experiences we'd rather not remember than the need to quit living by ourselves with those tormenting ghosts of yesterday gets more urgent than ever. We have to talk to somebody about them. Step 12, 12 Steps, 12 Traditions, page 55. Whatever is done is over. It cannot be changed, but my attitude about it can be changed through talking with those who have gone before with sponsors. I can wish the past never was, but if I change my actions in regard to what I have done, my attitude will change. I won't have to wish the past away. I can change my feelings and my attitudes, but only through my actions and with the help of my fellow alcoholics. That's right. That is what I just said. That's what I'm talking about. I am amazed when I try to sort of share something I'm going through, and then the fucking Daily Reflection sort of backs it up. That's the Daily Reflection said it better than I did, but you know, it's nice to, when we come into a program, especially in recovery, you know, to have a sponsor. It's best if we can find somebody that's been through this, right? That can share. And when you hear, like my buddy, I'm telling him, I'm like, dude, you got to stay in the day. To him, that's like the simplest, dumbest thing he's ever heard, right? His problem is that he is not losing everything, right? He's just losing his wife, and that can seem like everything, but the urgency to take direction is maybe not as extreme as somebody who is like trying to save their life from alcohol or drugs. But you know, it's, I got all through all that shit because of Matt. Matt was like, this is what you, that, as long as you're not smoking crack and paying for hookers, man, it's all going to work out. Which basically said, as long as your side of the street is clean, you're good. And it was simple things like that that made this unfortunately crummy experience doable. And yeah. Anyway, I hope everyone has a great Mother's Day. Went a little long, forgive me. Tomorrow, hopefully, I'm going to do that podcast with Tracy. I haven't talked to her, but about that book. I'll announce it tomorrow. But anyway, have a great day. Bye. Soon enough, you'll be on your own, steady and straight. And if they drag you through,